In the upcoming election, voters say they care a lot about the economy. Well, they also care about abortion. And this next story is about the intersection of these two things and the profound difference that having or not having an abortion can make in a woman's financial future and in the economy more broadly. NPR chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley and NPR health policy correspondent Selena Simmons-Duffin have been exploring this and are with us now. Hey to both of you.
Hi, Elsa.
Good to be with you.
Okay, Scott, I want to start with you. Can you just first explain, at a fundamental level, what is the connection between abortion and finances, both personally and at a societal level?
Well, the number one reason women in this country seek abortion is economic, a lack of resources to raise a child, or in many cases, an additional child. And research shows that when a woman who wants an abortion is not able to get one, she is more likely to end up in poverty. She's more likely to need public assistance. She's less likely to work full-time, and she's less likely to have children later in life.
None of this is surprising. Well, Selena, I know that you're going to now introduce us to someone who has a personal story about this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Her name is Natalie, and she asked NPR not to use her last name because she fears professional repercussions for telling her story. It starts in 2010 when she was 24 years old, living at her uncle's house in Missouri. She was in a hard spot financially, making minimum wage, working at a daycare.
I remember the first $100 that I had in my savings account was huge, and it took me like 6 months to get that high.
Her dad had passed away and her mom wasn't around to support her, so she was really on her own. She had just graduated from college with a science degree and she was on track to get a job in her field, ideally one with health benefits. But then
I had a kind of on again, off again boyfriend and I was taking birth control and we used condoms. So we thought there's not a really good chance of getting pregnant, but when you're young, sometimes your body has other ideas.
Right. So what did getting pregnant mean for Natalie?
Well, she said she felt completely alone and scared. She had no idea how she could afford to raise a child when she could barely support herself. She didn't want to build a life with her boyfriend. She said her relationship wasn't healthy or stable. Plus, she worried that if she continued with the pregnancy, she'd be kicked out of her uncle's house and find herself stuck in the same precarious spot for years to come.
I had grown up around a lot of women who did have children in their teens and 20s who were still dealing with the financial ramifications of that, right? Like they never got past those entry-level jobs. Right. They were always very concerned about money. The $100 in savings was kind of their perpetual life point.
She wanted a different kind of life. So she drove 3 hours to the nearest clinic for a medication abortion. She rented a cheap hotel room and her boyfriend came with her and contributed $700 to help cover the expenses. She put the rest on credit cards.
Okay, so clearly Natalie was someone who was very, very worried about the financial consequences of having a baby. What happened after she had the abortion?
Just a few months after that, she was on a completely new path. She broke up with a boyfriend, moved to a new state for a job in a lab, so using her science degree, and she was soon able to get her own apartment for the first time.
I had health insurance. I had a few thousand dollars in savings.
She's worked her way up at that company and is now a data scientist. She also got married, and after years of trying, she and her husband had a baby in 2020. And she wonders if any of that would have been possible if she had had to continue that first pregnancy. She thinks a lot about people in that situation today, given all the new abortion restrictions.
I was right at the line financially with being able to deal with it or not. And now, if I was in the same situation, there's no way I could afford an abortion.
And that's just one woman whose abortion in her early 20s had economic consequences throughout her life. There are so many more. So I want to go back to you, Scott. You know, she shared her story, Natalie, but some people don't like talking about abortion in economic terms, right?
No question. And we heard that a couple of years ago, right around the time the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen spoke to a Senate committee back then about the potential economic fallout of that decision. And Republican Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina just bristled at the secretary's remarks.
It just feels calloused to me. I think finding a way to have a debate around abortion in a meeting for the economic stability of our country is harsh.
Secretary Yellen said she didn't mean to sound harsh, but she insisted this is the truth. Over the last 5 decades, access to abortion has enabled a lot more women to join the workforce. It's let more women complete their schooling, which boosts their earning power. And Yellen says it's given women more power to plan and balance their work and family lives.
I believe that eliminating the right of women to make decisions about when and whether to have children would have very damaging effects on the economy and would set women back decades.
I mean, Scott, have laws that limit or outright ban abortion damaged the economy?
You know, it's interesting, Elsa. Even though 14 states have outlawed abortion since Roe was struck down and 6 other states have imposed strict time limits, the economic fallout so far has been limited, not because access to abortion doesn't matter, but because it matters so much that many women are finding ways to work around those new state bans. Economist Caitlin Myers at Middlebury College says tens of thousands of women have crossed state lines, often traveling long distances to get to clinics where abortion is still legal.
We're back to this kind of moment where whether people got abortions depended crucially on whether they could travel, except the really key difference is that now there's telehealth access to medication abortion. Telehealth abortion has been an absolute game changer.
Those telehealth appointments with pills sent through the mail now account for about 1 out of 5 abortions nationwide. And that's a big reason the total number of abortions has actually gone up, not down, in the 2 years since Roe was overturned.
Right. The statistics are so interesting. So the impact on the economy is not as big as some predicted, but that's mostly because of the availability of telehealth abortions. Selena, what about the impact on individual women and their individual financial lives?
It really varies a lot. I talked to Janice Fountain of the Yellowhammer Fund, a reproductive justice organization based in Alabama, about this. She says there are plenty of people who cannot get out of state to get an abortion, and not everyone has the know-how to get abortion pills by mail.
Your everyday person in community, especially low-income community in Birmingham, isn't following this bill to know what's legal, how to navigate it, or anything like that.
So people who have no choice but to carry pregnancies to term because of abortion bans have to navigate prenatal care, safe birth, and childcare, all of which is really challenging, let alone the longer-term economic impact that raising a child can have on your life that we've talked about here.
And also, the workarounds that so far have allowed many women to sidestep these state bans, those are fragile. You know, opponents of abortion will likely keep trying to put up roadblocks to interstate travel and to abortion pills through the mail. So there are likely more court battles ahead. And of course, a lot will depend on the November election. Abortion access is explicitly on the ballot in 10 states. And which political party controls Congress and the White House will also have a lot to say about access to abortion in the future.
Exactly. That is NPR's Scott Horsley and Selena Simmons-Duffin. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.